1 John 5, we're going to read 14 through 15. But before we do that, we are going to do our Bible affirmation because I think it's powerful. Let me tell you something. The reason why we're doing what we're doing and kind of taking things a little bit different is I've been in a class. Whenever I'm in a class, you know, I learn something. And in a class where I'm studying a book by Pastor Jack Hayford on the Church on the Way, and Pastor Jack Hayford is a worshiper by heart. And I realize how much sometimes worship becomes going through the motion for us at this church. As much as we love worship, as much as we're a worshiping congregation, as much as we like to shout, because sometimes we think because we shout and lift our hands, we're really worshiping. But I want you to know that worship really is about our heart. And it is the reason we spend so much time in worship is because we have to create a space and an atmosphere. See, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. He sits down, he is enthroned, the Bible says, in the praises of his people. And I don't want to go through church without having God sitting right down in the middle of service, without having God come in and say, I want to move, I want to speak. I don't think you get up on a Sunday morning to show up and leave the same way. I don't think you get up on a Sunday morning to come here and go through the motions. I believe you get up out your bed on Sunday morning because you came to meet God. You came to hear a word from God. And our job, my job as the leader of this congregation, is to help us create an atmosphere so that God can come in and speak to us. Is that all right? And I believe God's going to create a life-giving word for you today. This, I think, is the most powerful key out of all the keys that we're going to talk about. It is the key that will transform your life more than anyone. I believe that if you can grab this key to answered prayer, your entire life, your prayers will absolutely, positively, 100% get answered if you're operating in this key and in this principle. So I think it's too important to wait to get to it. I wanted to rush into it. I was so excited. But before we do it, let's do our Bible affirmations. You don't have to stand. Just hold your Bibles up in the air. And I really want you to understand that this is not just some word on a piece of paper or a screen. This really, truly is God Almighty speaking to us. Let us say our affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. Who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. So you got 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 14 and 15. Go ahead and read along with us those two verses. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. This passage guarantees you and gives you a confidence that if you ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Father, thank you for this word this morning. Move us, Father God, into a position where we can hear from you like never before. I declare over people's lives right now, Father God, that you're going to break down barriers. You're going to break down walls. You're going to show them why prayers have not been answered, and you're going to teach them how to get those prayers answered. I believe by faith, Lord God, that you are going to come through in some people's lives just because of this one key in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. So I'm going to review really quickly. We talked a few weeks ago on the keys to answered prayer, but we started off with the first key, which was faith. And we've said that all of these keys are important. They all go hand in hand. It's not like one key is necessarily more important than the other, but I do believe the one today is probably the one that is the least activated and used. We talked about the first key was faith, that whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. We moved on to the second key, which was hearing from God, that you can't hear the circumstances or the people that are telling you how it's going to work out, that you have to hear from God. That hearing from God is a key to having confidence to help you continue to go in the right direction and get your prayers answered. And then we talked the last time we met about the third key, which was works of faith. And we talked about how that once you believe that you have an answer to prayer, and once you hear from God, your actions show that you really believe. And if you missed any of the keys, don't worry. We have podcasts available. You can go pick them up online. They're free. Listen to them so that you can get all caught up. But now we're ready for key number four. Y'all ready for key number four? Y'all ain't ready for key number four. Ready for key number four? Yes. You ready for key four? This is the one that's going to change your life. Drum roll, please. You ready? Key number four is patience. Why y'all say, oh? I mean, you were waiting for something amazing, like just show up and God's going to move. Nope. patience. How many of y'all don't like patience? Oh, four of y'all gonna be honest. Let's be honest. You don't like patience. You know why I know we don't like patience? Because I can tell when you go through the drive-thru, you don't like patience. Because when you hit the drive-thru, you don't even order a full meal. You order by number because you don't want to wait to take the time to list it out. You scared that people going to get it wrong, especially if you on the east side. Don't you hate when you go through the drive-thru and you ordered it by a number even and made it so simple? I want a number one. And you get in the car and you don't have a number one. You got some other burger that ain't the number one that you ordered. And then you get mad because you're too lazy or tired and you don't want to wait to eat to get out of your car, go back inside and make people give you a right burger. So you go home and you eat the wrong burger because you don't have the patience to say, give me what I want. You know how I also know we don't like to wait and we're impatient is because of microwaves. We are a microwave generation. If it cannot be cooked in 30 seconds or less, we're upset. I don't want to wait to eat. I'm so hungry. I'm going to pass out. If you ever paid attention to the Bible don't really have a microwave concept. You know, God came and showed up to the people and the people said, you know what, we're going to go make a meal for you, God. So you know what they did? The husband would go out, he would get a goat. And he'd bring the goat back to his wife and said, babe, we got to make a meal for God. He's hungry. So the wife says, okay, the goat's going, goat's still up there alive. She got to kill the goat, shear the goat, cook the goat, churn the butter. I'm telling you, this wasn't an overnight, this wasn't like a quick number two process. I'm telling you, if I was God, I'd have been starving by then. But see, we don't live like that. We live like, God, I want it now. I want. Y'all heard that Burger King commercial? You can have it your way. You know what we really say? It's not about having it our way. It's having it our way right now. Krispy Kreme, hot and now. You ever been to Krispy Kreme when there's a line and you got an attitude? I have. Y'all don't go to Krispy. Do you know what Krispy Kreme is? All right. Well, then you should be excited when I'm talking about having an attitude about Krispy Kreme. Those are some good donuts. I went to Krispy Kreme one night, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're just going to run in and grab some. There was a line out the door, and I was like, ah, that's right. I don't want it. I praise God for the line because I didn't need the Krispy Kreme no way. But you know what? We have no patience when it comes to prayer. And then we go into our Bibles and say, God, where's that scripture that says I ought to get it the way I want it? Where's that scripture that says I ought to get it hot now? Where's that scripture that says I can order it right now, and then I can go 30 seconds later and get it? There is no scripture that says that. And unfortunately, we approach our prayers this way. God, if I ask you for this and I don't get it right away, that must mean you don't want to give it to me. Or that must mean it's not your will for me to have it. You ever hear people say that? You've been praying for something and it don't come to pass when you want it, so other people tell you, well, that must not be God's will. That ain't true. You waiting on God for a healing. You waiting on God for a healing. Praising God for a healing. And then somebody say, he ain't healed you yet. Well, I guess it ain't his will. Maybe he just wants you to die right now. Maybe he's going to get more glory out of your death. You ain't never heard that? Because what we're telling people is you don't have to have any patience. God is a now God. And I come to tell you, God's not always going to be a right now kind of God in your life. In other words, that doesn't mean you pray and he goes, poof. Let me tell you something. Here's how I know this. You need to know this. God is faithful. He is faithful, which means he does what he says he's going to do. But you also need to know that God is not just faithful. He is faithful everywhere. Y'all don't get that. Y'all don't get that. See, we have one point of view. We have our idea about what God's supposed to do. But God is so much bigger than your one point of view. You know, somebody said that your point of view is a view from a point. You're just looking at one point, and you're like, I don't know why God ain't moving. Obviously, he ain't doing something. And what is really happening is we're looking from a very narrow perspective, and we're praying for God to move, and we're praying for God to do these mighty things. God, for this to happen, you got to change this circumstance, and I need you to do it now. I need you to move my boss out the way so I can get my boss's job. I need you to do this and do this. But you're not realizing that when God comes in with his power and the power to change his circumstances, that those circumstances don't only affect you, they affect everybody else around you. Some of those people are God's people who they affect. So you praying for a prayer for God to move your boss out the way, but your boss is praying for a prayer that God would increase him on his job. And if God moved, watch this, if God moved his boss, your boss out the way, then God isn't faithful to your boss. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't want God to be unfaithful to anybody. Because if God is not faithful to somebody else, what does that mean? He's not going to be faithful to you. God is just as faithful to other people as he is to you. We got to stop being selfish Christians. God, I don't know why you didn't move for me now. When you are, God is like, I got other people in the world that I got to move for too. And if I move for you now, I'm going to mess up everybody else in the world. Not that I don't love you, but not that I don't want to do it for you. Not that I don't desire to do it for you. But right now, if I move, come on somebody, on your behalf, it's going to cause an imbalance where somebody else is going to say God is not faithful. Why? Because he is not faithful to his word to them. Impossible. Just like you asking God, can you please, I want to marry Lucy or Joe or Tom or Ted. And Lucy, Joe, Tom, or Ted are all married to somebody else. God can't be, first of all, that ain't a prayer of God. You can't expect that prayer to ever get answered. I'm just saying. But some of y'all, in order for you to marry that person, their spouse got to die. And you don't even realize that. Well, I feel so alone, Jesus. They were all excited till I said it was patience. We were looking for a breakthrough response. Where we can just leave and go, oh, I'm going to get all my prayers. You will. But you got to have patience. All we're thinking about in those moments is, God, you said you're going to be faithful to me. Lord, just change the situation. God, you don't have to worry about nobody else. That's the reason why let me tell you something. That's the way we come across to Jesus. We don't care about nobody else. Not realizing that, you know, God, I just need you to stay faithful, even if it means I got to wait a little bit longer. We don't have that concept. Whenever God is going to bring his power into the earth to begin to change circumstances, he has to make sure that whatever he is changing is going to cause his faithfulness to everybody who's right there to happen at just the right time in just the right way. There are also people who are completely rebellious, completely wicked, completely obstinate, who are doing everything against the Lord. They've attacked God's people, and God has to be faithful to judge those people too, the way that he promised to judge them. So when you're asking for your prayers to be answered, those circumstances can be manipulated and God can make a change, but they need to be manipulated and changed so that everybody receives the same justice, receives the same faithfulness, receives the very same thing that you are asking God for as well. I want to say that probably most people, maybe almost 100% of the time, this ain't the way we think about our prayers getting answered. We don't think that it might affect somebody else, so maybe that's why God, it doesn't mean that it'll affect somebody else, that's not why I pray it. It means it'll affect somebody else, that's why I have to be patient to wait for it. God is demanding to be faithful to everybody, so that faithfulness ought to bring about a confidence to us that, wait a minute, if God is faithful to everybody, that guarantees that he's going to be faithful to me and he's going to do whatever he said he's going to do. Though our answers may be delayed, it guarantees that they shall come to pass. So I'm talking about patience. So you want to see it from scripture, because some of y'all are like, okay, this is so cool. 1 John 5:14, our key passage says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The whole reason John is bringing this up is you have to know that people were praying prayers. And those people were praying prayers and going about their business, and their prayers were delayed. If they were getting all their prayers answered, he would never need to say this. If you just pray a prayer and poof it happens. Look, we think Jesus is a genie in a bottle. Give me your 3 wishes. And everybody, if they're smart and you've watched cartoons, know that the best wish is to wish for unlimited wishes. I don't know why they always mess that up in cartoons. You ever notice that? They go through their 3 wishes and then that's it. God is not some genie in the bottle that says, okay, poof, here it is, poof, here it is, poof, here it is. That is not what he's about. And John is writing and he's saying, look, let me tell you where your confidence ought to come from when you're talking about praying. Your confidence ought to come from this. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. That ought to be confidence enough. Why is he saying that? Because some people are saying, you know what? I prayed and I don't know if God's hearing me. Some of us have prayed some prayers and you don't know if God. Some of y'all single folks have prayed a prayer that God's going to bring you a spouse. And it's been years later. And you sit there going, I don't know if God hears me. And you know what we do? We stop praying the prayer. We stop believing God. Well, it must just be that this is the way my life's going to be. I guess this is how, maybe it's not God's will. As long as they ain't married to nobody else. and as long as they're a believer. Come on, somebody, because God ain't going to make somebody off the street who ain't saved. He ain't. That ain't God's will. I want Tyrone to be my boo. Tyrone is a crack addict who is a devil worshiper. And you all like, that's my man. God's going, no, shush. It's not according to his will. But the Bible says, if you ask anything according to his will, your confidence comes from knowing that God heard you. He heard you. Look. If you're going to ask according to his will, then you need to get up and say, Lord, I know that your will is about to be done. You ever hear that prayer? You should maybe possibly have heard it, you know, called the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you not know God wants his will to be done on earth? That's why Jesus taught us this is how you ought to pray. Pray for his will to be done. So it's not like if you prayed anything according to his will, God's not going, nope, I don't want my will to come to pass. He's absolutely. So you ought to have a confidence. You ought to have a boldness. You ought to have a, oh my gosh, yes, this is God's will. How do I know if it's God's will? It's in his word. If it's in his word, it's in his will. If his word says that he promised you that you're going to be the lender and not the borrower, you never have to question if getting out of debt is God's will. Yes! Do you really think God wants us to be in bondage? The Bible says that we are going to be, the borrower is subject or servant to the lender. God doesn't want us to be a servant to nobody else but him. It is absolutely God's will that you get out of debt. So when you pray a prayer, Father, I thank you. Lord, get me out of debt. You know what I start doing? I start praising the Lord. I praise you, Lord. You're going to make me the lender and not the borrower. I praise you, Lord. Even though I'm writing a check out every month to Capital One and the Visa and the, all these other folks, I still praise you, Lord. I'm going to get out of debt. Because according to his will, I got confidence that what I have just prayed, it will come to pass. I don't have to shake on it. I don't have to worry about it. Why is John or James teaching this? John teaching this because he wants to teach them about patience. He's saying, look, Christians, stop acting like you ask God for a prayer today and because it don't come to pass tomorrow, you give up. If you do that, you will never, ever, 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 ever. Well, not ever, ever, ever. But you will in many times not see your prayers come to pass. I want to tell you, some of you, I'm about to give you a prophetic word. Listen up, write it down, listen down. Write it down if you got a pen and paper. Here's a prophetic word. The reason why some of your promises haven't come to pass is because you quit, not God. You believed God for the moment you prayed, and you was all excited. And then 2 days later, you gave up. And you didn't have that same fervor you had the day you asked God for the prayer. God said, I never quit, you did. I'm done. Well, Pastor, I don't like this key. Sorry, let me prove it to you again because you don't think I'm telling the truth. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Ooh. Everybody all looking like they're about to go sleep. I'm patiently waiting for you to be done with this message. But I'm telling you, this was the one that if you grab it, and hold on to God's word, I guarantee you that prayer will come to pass. You have to be patient. If, verse 5, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, it's interesting that he's talking about wisdom, but he kind of makes a switch so that it's not just about wisdom. He says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. That's what we've talked about so far. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, we're not just talking about wisdom here. We're talking about everything from financial provision and healing and restoration for your family. When you come and ask for something, ask in faith and do not doubt. But doubting looks like this. I get in prayer and I say, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You're going to take care of me. And somebody say, how are you going to come out of that situation? I don't know. That's doubting. The Bible calls that being double-minded. You got two different minds about your situation. One mind says God's going to come through, and another mind says God ain't going to come through. I need a plan B. So you know what you do? You make plans as if God's not going to come through. So God promised you that he's going to make a way for you. God, it's like doing this. It's like saying, hey, you know what? Can I borrow $5,000? And I tell you, yes, absolutely, you can borrow $5,000. But you don't know if I'm really going to give it to you. So you make a plan B. You go ask somebody else for $5,000. Well, if you really believe me, you would have no need to go ask for some more money. And we are making plan Bs, and God is saying, live your life on the promises of God with one plan, his plan, plan A. There is no plan B. Oh, yeah, I ain't getting no amen. Because I got to figure that one out, Pastor. I don't like being frustrated about my finances, so I got to come up with another plan. And God is saying, stop. Stop. You know what? This happened to me about 2 years ago. I was, like, stressed out financially, and we were struggling a little bit with the church. I wasn't getting paid, and that was, you know, just what it was, and I was okay with it, but I had, like, three other jobs at the time that could cover what the church couldn't give me. I was a hustler. Legal hustler. Hustler. And I was wiped out, tired, frustrated, and trying to keep doing all these other things. And it was like every time I tried something on one of the other types of jobs I had, they fell apart. It wasn't working. And I went to God. I said, God, if you really are my provider, I need you to come in. I need you to give me some money through my real estate deals. I need some more deals. I need you. God's like, nope. Because I'm telling God, I need you to come through real estate. God, I need you to come through with a new idea. God, I need you to come through this way. And God's like, you asked me to be your provider. Just shh. Key number one, ask in faith. Will I provide? Yes. Key number two, hear from God. What am I saying to you? God said, quit everything else and just pastor. I said, that's the one that ain't making no money. I'm going to need you to come through with the one that's got some income coming. God's, cut it off. So I stopped. And by faith, I quit everything else. And I said, I'm just going to focus on being a pastor. And let me tell you something. Without any major resources flooding in the church, it wasn't like one day, the next day, it was like millions of dollars came in and now all of a sudden I can get paid. You know what happened? God worked it out step by step. We're not one time did we not eat. We did not, look, we had a place to sleep. We had food on our table. We had a car to drive. We had clothes. I still don't know how God worked it out. But I do know this, that because I heard from God and by faith, I applied and did what God said, and I waited patiently and I did exactly what God said. I'm standing today now where I was in debt, completely debt free. Come on, somebody. And I don't even know how. I wasn't making no money to get. It was simply because I had to be patient and do what God told me to do. And in the middle of it, I kept saying, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. People calling you, you need to pay this. I said, my God shall supply all my need. When you going to pay it? I just told you, my God shall supply all of my needs. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. It means my God shall supply. People's on the phone getting crazy. I said, either we can keep going through this because I ain't going to change my answer, or you can just hang up because I ain't got nothing else more to give you than this. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. What you want to do with that? And let me tell you something. My God supplied. And he wasn't just a one kind of God. He was a more than enough kind of God. He was a God who did exceedingly and abundantly above all that he could ask, think, or imagine. So I don't stand here before you rattling off some scriptures. I stand here telling you that if you will be patient, it took about 2.5-3 years from that point where I was at my lowest financially for God to come through and work. But I'm telling you, if you remain patient, because what I was thinking about doing, let me tell you what I was thinking about doing. My plan B, just so y'all know I had one, my plan B was deuces, people at Rohi. I'm going somewhere and living where I can live on my own. I ain't got to worry about y'all. Come on, somebody. I was like, I can go somewhere where it's cheaper to live. Y'all ever heard that song, It's Cheaper to Keep Her? I was like, I'm out of here. It's cheaper for me to go live somewhere else. And you know what? God was like, no. And I had to stand and I had to say, you know what? My plan B, I have to shut my plan B down in my mind. And so I didn't talk about it. I was like, oh, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go. No, I was like, my God shall supply. Even though it came up, because some of y'all don't say, what do I do when I'm supposed to be standing in faith? I'm supposed to be believing God. I'm supposed to be thinking this. I'm supposed to be holding on. You want me to be patient. I'm trying to be patient. But Pastor, everything in me say this ain't working. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to go back to key two. Hear from God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you get in the word so that God will strengthen something on the inside of you so that the inside of you gets strong enough to say that when circumstances start coming against me, I got this because his word is telling me my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You have to be patient. You cannot give up. The enemy is trying to do everything he can to get you to quit believing God for your promises. He is trying to tell you that's why it doesn't work. Some of y'all been praying for your spouse for years and you're tired of praying. You're like, this is just how they are. They ain't gonna never be no different. I come to tell you, stop saying that. God will transform their life. God will work. You gotta remember, it ain't just about you. He's got a timing thing he's got going on. God is moving. You've got to be patient, because if you stop praying, Satan is like, boom, I got it. If you stop believing God, Satan's like, no problem. Satan cannot rob you from the promises of God, but he can make you quit on God's promises. And some of us, we're getting right to the goal line, right to where it's about to come to pass, and the pressure's getting too tough. It looks like things are about to fall apart. We get to the point where we can't, not only now am I praying for my spouse, but now I don't even like them. Had three people laugh who married. I don't like them anymore. And God is like, you're right at the goal line. Don't quit. Keep believing God. Keep speaking God's word over them. Keep saying, my God, they're going to be the man or woman that you called them to be. My God, they already are. Lord, even though I don't see it right now, they're going to be the woman of God. They're going to do exactly what you said in your word you were going to do in their lives. Oh, I praise you. If you would stand strong, some of y'all need to understand that you are in the red zone and you're about to cross over the goal line and finish and complete a touchdown and get exactly what God has called you to do. But you got to be patient when everything looks like it's falling apart. Don't quit. Don't give up. Satan is trying to get you to quit. See, that this passage says in James 1:5, it talks about how the winds and the waves will come. It says that he's like a man who doubts, like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You need to know that your circumstances are the winds and the waves that are tossing you back and forth, where you start to believe and not believe. I don't believe God. I believe God. I believe. I don't believe. I believe. I don't believe. And you start to sway in your thinking to where you're not sure if God is going to be faithful to his promises, because circumstances are telling you it don't look like God is going to be faithful. Two minds. Go to Galatians 6:9. You cannot have two minds and think that man shall not think that he'll receive anything from God, the Bible says. I want you to see it again, because some of y'all are like, all right, Pastor, that was just one scripture. Let me show you another one. Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good. See, that doing good is works of faith we talked about a few weeks ago. For in due season, somebody say due season. In due season, somebody say due season. I don't think you heard me. You got to say due season. See, do you know what a due season is? You ever had a bill that was due? It's due on this particular date. Come on, somebody. Now, what's interesting is if you don't pay the bill on that particular date, you know, they tell you they're going to cut your services off. Right? So you say, my bill is due now. That is your due season. But I want to kind of readjust your due season just a little bit, because sometimes they'll give you a grace period in your due season. Come on, somebody. So the due season will come after the deadline of the original due season. Come on. When it's due, it's not really the first, but it's really the 15th. Because they tell you they're going to cut it off, but see, they got processes and procedures. They got to have a little time. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all don't understand that just because the deadline passed don't mean you ain't in due season. Due season means God is saying you are due for me to come up and give you what I promised you. You are due for this blessing. You are due for this promise. You are due for your healing. You are due for this restoration in your relationship. And the Bible says, don't get weary while doing good, for in your due season, you shall reap. Not you may reap, but you shall reap. You will reap. You shall reap. You absolutely guaranteed, positively will reap. But the key is, if you do not lose heart. If you lose heart, you know what that means? You're starting to doubt. You're giving up. You're walking away. You're saying, this ain't gonna work. I'm good. Deuces, bye, peace. I'm out of here. You are walking away from your due season. Now I want you to know something, that God is so good that deadlines don't mean nothing to him. And some of y'all are thinking, well, the deadline is coming gone. I'm going to tell you something. God will shatter a deadline. How do I know? Lazarus was a deadline shattered. Jesus was supposed to come, heal him. The man was sick. He loved him. He had a relationship. Jesus was supposed to show up, heal him before he died. But now that he's dead, due season done passed. Jesus said, it's been 4 days. Jesus shows up 4 days late. I didn't know Jesus could be late, but he was late. 4 days late based on their timing. And you know what Martha said? Martha said, God, surely he's funky by now. He stinks. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Let me tell you what your circumstances say to you when it seems like God is late. Your circumstances say, this stinks. This is horrible. It feels bad. That's what your circumstances are saying. But God is saying, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? There is no season that has passed beyond my ability to move in the middle. So Jesus shows up, what the world looks like 4 days late, situation stinky. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, Lazarus, come on out. And Lazarus go. The Bible says he was wrapped in grave clothes. That was me, you know, demonstrating him. Right? Yeah. And he came out. He showed up what we would think late, but let me tell you something. Some of us think the deadline is past, so we stop believing God. Let me tell you, don't give up. God is bigger than that deadline. God is bigger than what they say. God is bigger than that situation. He is never late. He's always right on time. Joyce Meyer says he's never late, but he's also never early. I think that's pretty funny. You got to stick with God and allow him to just be God even when the deadline is over. Hebrews 6:12. I think some of us want a deadline because we want to know that this is when I can stop believing. You can't stop believing until it comes to pass. Hebrews 6:12. Boy, I ain't even got real good, but I'm about to try to do this thing right here. Hebrews 6:12 says this. Do not become sluggish. Some of us are just sluggish believers. Hebrews 6:12, did I say it right? Okay. Do not become sluggish. Don't get lazy in your faith. But imitate those who through faith inherit the promise. Is that what it says? No, it don't. Read. Who through faith and what? See, I love that the Bible don't say who just through faith inherit the promise. But the Bible says who through faith and patience. Which means it ain't just me believing, but it's me believing and doing what God says, hearing what God says, having these works of faith, living out what God told me to do, and still operating in patience. Do I inherit the promise? We ought to imitate those who don't just have faith and talk about it, but who remain patient with God. Oh, prove it to me. You all don't believe that this is true. All right. Let me give you a definition of patience, first of all, because I didn't even give you that definition yet. Have I given you a definition of patience? You ready for the definition of patience? Sustained faith. Sustained faith. In other words, I believed when I prayed. Now here's the next day. I still believe it. Now here's the next day. I still believe it. Here's the next day. I still believe it. Here's the next month. I still believe it. Here's the next week. I still believe it. Here's the next year. I still believe it. Here's 2 years later. I still believe it. Here's years later. I still believe it. I still believe it. That's sustained faith. That's patience. I still am acting like I believe it. I'm still talking like I believe it. I'm still thinking like I believe it. I'm still feeling emotionally like I believe it. I haven't let it go. And if you start to let go, go back to key number two and do what? Get in your word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay, let me prove this to you. Let me show it to you. I had so many other things. Oh, so much good stuff to show you. But let me just prove it to you by scripture. Abraham was a man who God promised you're going to be the father of many nations. That's what he said. Now, Abraham was 75 when God showed up on the scene. And he was married to a woman who was 60. He didn't have a tenderoni. He had a 65-year-old lady. I mean, it's one thing if you're 75 and your boo 20, you're going to have a baby. Oh, no, your boo 65. No offense. She was a little more ripened in her age when it came to bearing children. So here she is, 65 years old, never had a kid. He's 75, never had a kid. And God comes and says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham's like, I ain't even got no kids. But the Bible says Abraham believed God. They tried. You got to know they tried. But they couldn't. And the Bible says not only are you going to have a child, you're not just going to have one child, but you're going to be the father of many nations. Many children are going to come through you. Now, Hebrews 6:13 says this, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one else greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Verse 15 says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Romans 4:18 says this, who contrary to hope, in hope Abraham believed. Contrary to even having a hope. You 75, she's 65, ain't no hope. But the Bible says contrary to all hope, he believed in hope so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. I love the New Living Translation because the New Living Translation says this, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. So at 75, God gives him a promise. And at 76, she's still not pregnant. At 77, she's still not pregnant. 78, she's still not pregnant. 79, she's still not pregnant. 80, it's been 5 years. She's still not pregnant. 24 years go by. And the promise still hasn't come to pass. 24 years later. But in that 24th year, that 89-year-old lady, something happened in Abraham and Sarah. First of all, they were still trying. That just blows my mind. Abraham is like, baby, today's going to be the day. Can you believe that every day Abraham woke up saying that? The men are like, yep, I can believe it. He woke up saying, baby, today going to be the day. For 24 years, nothing happened. She probably was like, eh, but she was like, okay, you're right. Today going to be the day. What was it? It was the faithfulness of God responding to the faith of Abraham about the promise. 24 years went by and she got pregnant. So now, 24 years later, there's a baby inside of her. And I'm sure everybody else thinks she's real crazy because can't nobody else see the baby but her? Can anybody else feel that baby kicking inside of her but her? See, in the natural, she was only pregnant for a few months. But in the spirit, she'd been pregnant for 24 years. Ever since the seed of the promise came into their ears, ever since the word of God flooded their heart and got into them, she became spiritually pregnant. Now, let me tell you something. You got to have something down on the inside of you that's kicking on the inside of you. Because if you don't, your circumstances will begin to kick back at you and they will begin to cause you to say, I'm done, I quit, it's over. But see, she had the baby inside of her that was kicking, that was moving. And she's like, even though I waited 24 years, I know y'all might think I'm 89, this baby gonna die, but I tell you right now, this baby coming to pass. She kept believing God for 24 years. And then on that blessed day, that spiritual, let me tell you something. They kept pushing. She, you know how you gotta push a baby out? You gotta push to not give up. Can you imagine if she gave up when she was in labor? 24 years of work going down the drain. You can't give up when it get hard. You can't give up when circumstances say this is difficult. You can't give up when people are telling you to quit. You got to get the word inside of you and start pushing back, because what will happen is pressure will start to build up and that pressure will cause that situation to pop and it'll be done, settled, and set it. But if we give up too soon, it's done. She pushed. She had the baby. And you know what the Bible says? Abraham was 100 years old. And she was 90, and they had a baby boy just like God said. You know what God called Abraham? The father of faith. It's amazing that God didn't pick somebody who prayed a prayer, got a quick answer, and call him the father of faith. He picked somebody who had to stick at it for 25 years and said, now that's the father of faith. And he's telling us, imitate those kind of people who through faith and patience, don't get short-sighted. Don't be quick to give up. Let God be God. He's a big God. He doesn't go according to the rules you have. And if you don't like Abraham's story, let me tell you about his son, Isaac. Because Abraham had a son named Isaac. And remember, you know, the promise is that you're going to be father of many nations. So he only had one child. Well, he had two, but that was not Sarah's baby. The promise was through Isaac. So he had Isaac. And Isaac marries a woman. Her name's Rebecca. And guess what happens to Rebecca? He's the father of many nations. You would think Rebecca just goes out, boop, pops out 100 babies. Nope. She can't have no babies either. She's barren too. What? You gave us a promise, and now the second generation can't have no babies either? Nope. But you know what? Isaac prayed, and he believed God. And you know what? Isaac had two kids, Jacob and Esau. Now, what's interesting is Jacob is the one who the blessing of God is on. Jacob is the one who's got the anointing on his life. He goes off to marry the love of his life, Rachel. Rachel's daddy is a trickster, tricks her, gives her the ugly sister. I'm not going to say no more else about Leah because Leah's my friend. And so he works. Leah starts having babies. He works for 7 years, finally gets the love of his life, Rachel, but she can't have no babies. So Leah has four babies, and Rachel says, well, look, you know how sibling rivalry goes. I can't believe this is the first act in the Bible of sister wives, just so y'all know. Real first sister wives. Both married, first of all, married to the same man named sisters. I would have killed her, but that's another story. She has four babies. Rachel says, wait a minute, this ain't working. She gives her maidservant. Maidservant's having babies. Then Leah stops having babies. Leah gives up her maidservants. He starts having babies. Then Leah says, you know what? I want to have some more babies. She prays. She gets a baby. She gets two more babies. She's got all these babies popping out. It is 11 babies later. And Rachel still ain't got none. You need to know they ain't all pregnant at the same time. So this is probably anywhere from 15 to 20 years that this woman has been praying for God. Can you imagine the shame? The people are talking about her like a dog, but she waited on the promise. She waited. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, just write it down. You have to turn there. It says, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her. What does that mean? That meant she was still praying. 15 to 20 years later, she's still praying. God, you're going to bless me with a baby. She's still asking and praying for this miracle. And the Bible says God listened to her and opened up her womb. And the Bible says that she conceived and bore a son. And listen to what she calls him. She says, God has taken away my reproach. So she called him Joseph. Reproach means an embarrassment. It's my reputation that's been soured. All these other people are getting their prayers answered. Their lives are progressing. They're getting forward. They're doing what they want to do. They're being blessed. And everybody can see that my life is not being blessed. But God says, I'm going to take away the reproach. I'm going to take away the shame. You need to know, somebody needs to know that God is saying, I want to take away your reproach. I want to take away your shame. I want to take away all that stuff, that negativity that's on your life because your people are saying, you poor, you ain't going to never be nothing. God says, that's reproach. I want to take it away. The Bible says, and she conceived and bore a son and named him Joseph because God has taken away my reproach. And what kills me is the Bible, she didn't stop there, but she goes on to say, and the Lord, look, and she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So she said, all right, you did one. Give me another one. And guess what? God gave her Benjamin. He gave her another. Don't think that your prayers are too far gone. Have patience. Against all hope, believe. Y'all remember Joseph? Y'all got to see this, and then I'm going to close. I had to get to this, but I want to show you this. Turn to Psalms 105. Remember Joseph? Joseph, you know, so now this is, what's amazing to me is this is generation after generation after generation after generation of barrenness. And people would say, well, I guess it ain't God's will for y'all to bear children. But God gave that family a promise that they were going to be the father of many nations. They were going to be many nations. He was going to bless them. And yet they kept believing. What are you going to do? God gave some of y'all families the promises, but because it didn't happen to your mama, you stopped believing it. God says, don't stop believing. All right, let me move on because I got to finish. So they have Joseph. Joseph gets this call on his life. His is now not a one about having children, but he has an anointing on his life to do great things for God. And some of y'all have a call on your life and you're wondering, why isn't anything working? Why isn't anything changing in my life? Why is there nothing going on? Let me prove to you what God is doing. He had this call on his life. He had a covenant with God. He was the chosen one. He was the loved one. He was the one that God wanted to move in his life. And yet he ends up in slavery. He ends up in prison. He's there for many, many years. And the Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 17, check this out. Check this out. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with feathers. He was laid in irons. That don't sound like you, the blessing of Abraham right there. That don't sound like the promise of God's supposed to work out for you. But verse 19 says, until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. I want you to know that for some of you, the reason you got to be patient is because God is working on you. Not only did God have power to change his circumstances that would affect a whole lot of other people, but God is saying, I want my word to test you. What do you mean, let your word test us? Do you still believe? Do you believe what I've said to you? Do you believe that I'm going to do exactly what I promised you? Do you believe that you're going to do what I've called you to do? God put his word inside of Joseph and he tested him. So all those years, it wasn't about a situation or a circumstance. It was about Joseph. And the Bible says, until the time that his word came to pass, Joseph went through all kinds of drama. Stop saying, I'm going through drama. God's word's not going to come to pass in my life. It must mean, no, you need to know you're going through drama because it is until the time of the word of the Lord coming to pass in your life that God is testing you. Pass the test. Stay patient. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Do what God has called you to do. And what's interesting, the Bible says in the next verse, in verse 20, the king, somebody say the king. The king sent and released him, and the ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possession. The king sent somebody. Somebody needs to know that the king, Almighty God, the king of all kings, is sending somebody to set you free, to deliver you from your prison. He promoted him after years of delay. And you need to know how this happened. It happened in one day. It's like yesterday he was in jail and now today he's ruling over the whole nation. Why? Because it was due season. And you need to know that Joseph kept his integrity. Joseph kept believing God. Joseph worked with excellence. Just because he was a slave, he didn't let his circumstances dictate what God had promised him or what God was going to do. Don't you let being on your job with folks who don't like you dictate the fact that God is calling you to be the head and not the tail. Don't you let your circumstances dictate to you what you can and cannot believe God for. Somebody better have the patience to say, Lord, I won't give up. I won't quit. I won't give in. I'm okay. Keep on believing you. You're going to remove my reproach today. The king is going to send somebody who is going to take me from the bottom to the top. He's going to promote me. Come on, somebody. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord God, judge, who sits on high and sits one down and puts another one up. God Almighty will move. Don't you worry about timing. Don't you worry about situation. Don't you let no this or that stop you. You keep believing God and you have patience. If you can hold on with patience, I guarantee you, you will inherit the promises that God has for your life. Come on and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. See, you got three choices. Three things are going to happen when you come under pressure. When you come under pressure to believe God for what you've asked him for in prayer, you need to know that either God is going back down from what he said, and he cannot do that because he's not a man that he should lie. Or number two, you're going back down from what God says. Or number three, your circumstances are going to have to back down. Either God's going to back down, which is impossible, you're going to back down, or your circumstances are going to fall and crumble. Which one is it for you? Which one is it for you? You got to link up with God. You're not big enough to handle this stuff on your own. Trust him. No, let his word come inside you. He'll crumble every situation, every pressure. Come on and bring that offering bucket up. Some of you today, God's been giving you a promise of something. And you've let it crumble. You've let the pressure kick in and you just gave up. God is saying, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't stop.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org. or write to Rohe Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.